Okay, so first, a bit of disclaimer. The shiur is entitled Yisurim Shalava, a glimpse into the meaning of suffering. Now, I very deliberately wrote the term glimpse, because there's a whole sefer in Tanakh, one of the sefer Eos, that discusses suffering. And it is one, arguably, one of the more difficult svarim in Tanakh to really understand and to grapple with the problem that Moshe Rabbeinu and onwards, and probably even previously, grappled with. So we're not going to walk out of here with a solid, not only not a solid definition of Yisurim Shalava, we certainly won't walk out with a solid definition of the meaning of suffering and why it happened. Because at the end of the day, there's certain things that, as I mentioned in the Shia Mashkaha process, Kilo Machavotai Machavotai Kam Lo Machavotai Kam Derachai, there's certain things that are really, really beyond their comprehension. What I maybe recklessly decided to do was to talk about one specific aspect of suffering, and that is the concept of Yisurim Shalava, and even within that, talk about only two approaches to Yisurim Shalava, and there could definitely be more than that. That's why I call it a glimpse. The beginning of a discussion that can take a lifetime plus to discuss. In order to appreciate anything we're going to do, we have to understand, we have to be willing to accept one thing. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to run this world, the Sfar Golish, which means he rewards, but he also punishes. And we would like it to be, preferably a world without punishment. We would like it to be, you're caught speeding on the road, so you would just like to be able to say, okay, sorry, not going to go. That's the way we'd like things to happen. You were caught shoplifting, so you'll just never do it again. And that's fine. Anything that we do, we don't really want to get punished for. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run the world that way. There are rewards for our good actions, and there are punishments for consequences for our actions and not for us. And therefore, at the end of the day, no matter how much we don't want there to be suffering in this world, part of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, Kabbalah, is that there is suffering. Having said that, let's take a look. And the shiur is going to be relatively speaking a short shiur, because as I said, it's only a bit of a glimpse. Source number one. Amar Rava Vitamer Rav Chista. Imro Adam Shiyisurim Barnalav. If a person sees that he's suffering, something is happening in his life that he's suffering. So Yifashvesh B'Masa. He should check his deeds. Shenemar, Nach Besad Derachenu V'Nach Kora, V'Nashuv Ad Hashem. The understanding is that he's being punished because he's acting incorrectly. Let him examine his deeds, change his behavior, and therefore the Yisurim should go away. Now, how do you examine his deeds? Chazal tell us that at least initially, When a person misbehaves, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him, initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him, the punishment is meant to get him to change his deeds. So how is he supposed to realize what he's doing wrong? The answer is, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish? Mita Keneged Mita. At least initially. There's some professionals say that if you don't listen to the Mita Keneged Mita, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him on a whole school of punishment. But initially it's Mita Keneged Mita. So you take a look at what you're suffering, then you take a look at your deeds, which might be connected mida, connected mida. Nach besed rachinu v'nachkov v'nashuvad Hashem. Pishbeis v'lo matza. You really examined all your deeds, and you didn't find any correlation between what you're doing wrong and what the punishment is. So the Gemara says, Yitla debito Torah. Shenema ashrei gevashet yasrem v'kovit Torah schatzalam denu. then you should assume that your punishment is coming because of Bittul Torah. Why Bittul Torah? So, Chaim Volozhiner in source number 2 in Ruach HaChayim explains that because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so all-encompassing, that the Aveira of Bittul Torah is so all-encompassing, that any and every kind of punishment is for Bittul Torah. In other words, there is no specific midah keneged midah in Bittul Torah. There's anything goes when it comes to Bittul Torah. Just as an aside, my assumption is that this would apply only to somebody who's chayv in Talmud Torah. Because the person who's chayv in Talmud Torah is punished because there is Bittul Torah. The person who's not chayv in Talmud Torah presumably can't get punished for Bittul Torah. They may get punished for Bittul Zman, not making use of their time, but not specifically for Bittul Torah. So the person checks, and he's not guilty of Bittul Torah. Now this is amazing, because who are we talking about? Somebody's not guilty of Bittul Torah. So we're not talking, you're not talking about average people. You must be talking about people who aren't about the Torah. Tremendous tzaddikim. So then, biyadua shi yisurim shel ahava hem. So then he's getting yisurim shel ahava. He's getting suffering of love. Shenemar, kiyat asher ye'ahav Hashem yochia. He who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, that's the one that he's mochia, that he rebukes. So what in the world is yisurim shel ahava? The guy doesn't find any averus that correspond to the suffering. He's not guilty of Bittul Torah as far as he can tell. So don't worry, it's Yisurim Shel Ahava. So Rashi, to the left, says, the last three lines there, Yisurim Shel Ahava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyatro ba'olam hazeh below Shem Avot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes him and causes a degree of suffering in this world without any case. Kedei laharbot scharo ba'olam haba. In order to give us extra reward in Olam Haba. Meaning that there's a certain reward that a person gets in Olam Haba depending on how well he's acted. So he ain't got a tzaddik or tzaddik really loves. But he's only he's a human being. He's limited to the reward. So he did lots and lots and lots of mitzvah. He gets this amount of reward in Olam Haba. But I think he really wants to give us this amount of reward. He wants to give him even greater Olam Haba. So what does he do? So if he has more suffering in Olam Hazeh, so as compensation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give him greater Olam Hazeh. That's what Rashi says. So a person suffers in Olam Hazeh, it could just very well be HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really loves you, he wants to give you a reward in Olam Hazeh. Now we may come along and say, you know, forget the reward in Olam Hazeh, I don't want to have the suffering in Olam Hazeh, which is a perfectly human reaction. But it's only a proper reaction if we don't appreciate what the reward of Olam Haba is. If somebody were to come along and take $2 out of our wallet to buy a lottery ticket, and we would say, are you crazy? I needed those $2 to get the lottery. I just want, but we buy the winning ticket. So until it buys the winning ticket, until we understand what the winning ticket is about, we're just upset about the $2. If we knew what the winning ticket was, we would say, take $2, take $200. The winning ticket was, there was something in New York, it was like $300 million once, it was the other bet. Yeah, some mega, it's up to $400 million. If it's buying the winning ticket, take all my money to buy the winning ticket. Right? So, evidently, that's seemingly what Rashi says. In other words, there's a certain, for the Yisurim and Olam Hazeh, if we only knew what Olam Hazeh was about, we'd be more than happy to pay the price. To get even greater rewards than Olam Haba. That's how Rashi understands Yisurim Shel Ahava. The Pnei Yehoshua in source number 3. That's difficult, isn't it? Pnei Yehoshua is a commentary on Rashi. On Shas, not Rashi on Chumash. It says, Talav alo matza biyadua shi Yisurim Shel Ahava hem. Mukherish Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyatro bi Yisurim below shum chet v'avom. Because they love the scholar of Olam Haba. I'm sure. Quote Rashi. אין לצמוע לך כפת, דעקות אימא תועלת, יש לו לקדוש ברוך הוא להביע לצדיק איסורים ולא של אבון, כדי להביא זכור בעולם הבא. ואין זו אפילו את מידס בוסר וגם לייסר את אוהבו באיסורים, כדי ניתן לו מתנות הרבה. כל שכן לפני מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא שכל העולם שלו הוא בצון הנוסנו למי שירצה בלי שום שיר. It's difficult to understand.
Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu have to punish the guy in order to give him greater reward? Not normally what you do, you have a king, so you have somebody he really, really likes and he wants to reward him. So first he's going to like make him suffer a great deal so he can give him more gold and silver. And certainly, Kal Vachomer, talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is his. He can dish out rewards at will. If he says this guy decided he deserves a better, he deserves more than Olam Haba, so what does Hakadosh Baruch Hu say? Forgive me, Olam Haba! But Hakadosh Baruch Hu has to answer to some accountant somewhere. Wait a second, he gave this person a little bit more Olam Haba, and he didn't say. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu really loves the tzaddik, he says the tzaddik should really get more Olam Haba, so just give him more Olam Haba. Why does he need to undergo the tzaddik? That's the Pnei Yeshua's question. And therefore, the Pnei Yeshua is going to have two different responses to this about the Yisum Shel Ahava. In deference to Rashi, I think that the answer was Rashi might suggest simply is that that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He doesn't punish needlessly. He also doesn't stomp throw out rewards. If you're a big tzaddik, you're going to get a big reward. But you're not going to get the bigger or the biggest reward. You get what you deserve. Because Baruch really loves the big tzaddik. But Olam Haba, you have to deserve Olam Haba. And because Baruch doesn't give away freebies, even in Olam Haba, even in big tzaddik. Because Baruch really wants to give the tzaddik a greater share in Olam Haba. He wants him to win the super duper mega lottery. So he's got to take away the ticket, the money that the ticket costs. Baruch doesn't give out something to nothing, even to the biggest tzaddik. That's what I would suggest Rashi would answer. But the Pnei Yeshua has a different approach. He says this is not just to give the tzaddik a bigger reward. So for reasons which I don't even remember why I did it, I think I did it too, but I took the second reason of Pnei Yeshua first, that's in source 3 still, and then we'll get to the first explanation back when we get to source 10. So if you ever look it up in the Pnei Yeshua, there's some reason why he did it this way. One day I'll remember. Okay. I wrote the Shira up a little while ago. So what does the Pnei Yeshua suggest? So the Yesh Tafari Shal Dehinyan Acher. The Osan Ayusun Shemedi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaTzadik B'li Shum Avon Al Kochach Hainu Kedei Lemarek Avon Oseyem Shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yisurim on the Tzaddik in order to atone for the Averos of Bnei Yisrael. Not because the Tzaddik personally deserves to suffer, but Bnei Yisrael are deserving of a punishment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yisurim to the Tzaddik to atone for the Averis of Bnei Yisrael. He goes on to explain the next bracket. The Ha'inyan Nivua She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rotze B'Hashchatat Olam Ela B'Kiyumo. This world doesn't want to destroy the world, he wants the world to exist. V'Niyavi HaYisurim Al HaBeinonim Efshe Shelo Yikablu HaYisurim Yidaitan V'Yivatu B'Yirato Chatz V'Shalom. Says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you have Bnei Yisrael, they're not behaving. Am Yisrael isn't behaving. Again, a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world as far as onesh. Therefore, there needs to be an onesh. But if I punish the average person, Bnei Yisrael, unfortunately, what could very well happen? They don't want punishment. They won't say, Nach Tesod Rachinim Nach Kola. They'll turn further away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just to be betochacha and Pasha Duchu Kosa. What happens? Bnei Yisrael don't behave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings punishment.
Bnei Yisrael continue not to behave, what happens? Himself will need to be carried out, because Bracha brings even greater punishment. Bnei Yisrael don't behave, it brings even greater punishment. So this is going to happen, it's going to destroy Bnei Yisrael, because they just don't listen. And therefore, Lachen Abrochen Libos, maybe Osama Yisur and Asma Malatzadik, Shiakatlin Da'ava Lutovat Yisrael. He who knows human nature brings the Yisurim on the Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik will accept the Yisurim. Nitzah Kevin Shazat Tzaddik Zika Es HaRabim Arei Zchus HaRabim Talubo. And therefore the Tzaddik in his suffering was Mezakeh the Rabim, therefore he should be rewarded for his willingness to accept B'Ahava the Yisurim. B'Shmul Kach Notel Chelko V'Chelkam B'Gan Eden. And therefore he gets not only his reward in Gan Eden, but he gets a part of the chelik of everybody else who didn't undergo this suffering, because he suffered for them. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away from the average person something that they don't really deserve, and gives it to the tzaddik, because his suffering atones for them. Mikosh Kenshin, that tzaddik no telegami kochelik harishon gemurin. Rishon Gemurin, right there, Tashar Baruch Hu gives them the chelik of Rishon Gemurin Gan Eden, gives over to the tzaddik. Now this may seem like a very strange concept, but why is it that if the tzaddik suffered, how could the tzaddik suffer for Bnei Yisrael? How does that work? So, we know the Kol Yisrael are Eved Zelusim. We're all responsible for one another. We're responsible, and there's two aspects. We're each responsible for our own actions. And being part of the Bnei Yisrael, we're responsible for the actions of Am Yisrael. We're a member of the group, and therefore, when the group behaves, who gets rewarded? The group! And even though maybe my behavior wasn't so great, but because I'm part of the group, I get reward. And for instance, you know, if Bnei Yisrael are really doing lots of things and there's plenty of rain, so I'm a farmer, so I'm, even though I may not be doing so great personally, but I get the benefits from that. On the other hand, when the group misbehaves, we're all responsible. And if there's a lack of rain, so even though I'm like a big tzaddik, but if it's not raining, it may not rain just over my farm. Just not going to rain. The more connected you are to Bnei Yisrael, presumably the more you share in their reward, but also the more you share their punishment. The tzaddik, the real tzaddik, is very much connected to Am Yisrael. The tzaddik who cares about every other Jew and feels the joy of every Jew and feels the pain of every Jew. So that tzaddik is very much connected to Am Yisrael. And therefore, the way the Bnei Yeshua says, and the Ramchal also, take a look at the source for the Ramchal. He writes in Derech Hashem, "V'hu inyan, kol Yisrael areivim zeh lazeh, shezachu zal, ki hinei al yad zeh nimtzaim mitkashrin k'tzatam b'k'tzatam." We get connected to one another, v'lo nifradim ishlatzma, we're not separate individuals. B'nei nidat tovat tamid meruba, for a reward, the good is always great. V'nipasim zel zeh b'cheit, and yet if there's cheit, kosh ken she'ilu zel zeh b'tchut, v'amnam al-fi shorish zeh nizah she'yagim tzarot yisurim le'ish tzadik, v'yeh zeh l'chapara b'dora. The tzadik who's so connected to Am Yisrael, so his suffering becomes like the suffering of Am Yisrael. And therefore he can be mechaper. And the Mishnah Meliyahu Rav Dessler in source 5 quotes a couple of Gemaras or Midrashim. A Gemara Mishnah Peres called Shnei Yisuri de Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Now he says Rav Elazar Rav Shimon suffered tremendously. In all the years that he suffered with various kinds of all sorts of lesions and things on his body, it was terrible.
Well, Shachar Inish below Zimnei. No one died early. In all the years that Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi suffered, there was never a lack of water. In the 13 years that Rebbe suffered from tremendous toothache or teethache, right. It probably wasn't just a regular toothache. It was something probably very, very strong pain. It says not a single person in Eretz Yisrael miscarried, and the women getting birth didn't have excessive pain. Ubeir ha'inyan ha'yin b'sefer derech Hashem shatzadik ishimikabel b'yav ha'yisurav b'toela doro b'osamasa neitiv l'doro shemachaper alei. And he writes, says toward the end, that that may be what Yisurim Shel Ahava are. In other words, it's Yisurim that the tzaddik accepts the Ahava, and therefore, it's Mechaber HaBnei Yisrael. So if the tzaddik, I'll take your question in a moment. So if the tzaddik comes along, and he's Mefash Lish Mata, he's suffering. He doesn't see that he's... there's any specific avera that he did that to all. He's a Bikal Torah. He's a Yisur Shem Ahava, that's Mechaper. And the Gemara in Shabbos, in source 6, says, Shmanina, Yesh Nisa below Chet, Yesh Yisurim below Ahava. There are Yisurim below Ahava. A person can suffer, and there is no avera that he did. To be big tzaddik. An Adarab, the Tzaddik, because he's such a big Tzaddik, he's going to be able to go to suffering. And even though the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Ki Adam in Tzaddik Baretz Hashaya said Tov V'lo Yechta, Tosos, right below that, so I say, that's not something that wrote most people. Most people do chet. It could be you have a Tzaddik, an exceptional, exceptional person. Doesn't. Two very, very brief stories to take some questions. One, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, but I couldn't trace my steps. The son of all the Chafetz Chaim in Yisra is a relatively young age. He keeps working in the parish. Chafetz Chaim's wife, I remember reading the story a while back, and until I went through the story, I didn't really understand the story. If I remember the story correctly, it's about Chaim's wife was complaining against him about Chaim, the marriage was such a big time. It was madish big time. He was dying at such a young age, suffering, but his wife was killed under the belief. So, Chaim said, when he fell, so much behavior happened. You know how many people would have needed to die? But because the person was happy, I mean, as long as it was born, how many people's lives so many days. It may be a foreign concept, but this is the way I remember the story. Much more recently, this year, I'm not going to be and the more like he was it, people started telling stories about unbelievable stuff. It's like one little thing. It's something really triggered this trigger. It's not something to that out. Some people the living told really well part of it as well. And one of them go went to visit Jonathan Parker. So they have to go through a metal mechanism. Like a very highly sophisticated metal. It's going into maximum security prison. So we should photo shell. So, Mordechai Eliyahu, as good as he was,
So they would allow for those medicines to catch him protect him, even though it would go off, they wouldn't make him like, you know, start taking off his robe and taking his head out of his body. So he walks through the metal detector and it doesn't bust.
Mara asked,
why is the parsha of Miriam's death right into the parsha of Parlev and the parsha of Sukkot? We say that Paradum is Mechaper, so too Nisa Tzadikim is Mechaper. So whoever wants to spoke, it says that Paradum is Mechaper, but there's something that you need to do. After they sprinkle the Paradum, the eighth of the Paradum on you, you still have to go ahead and you have to be told, the mikvah, that's the things that you need to do. And then you get the Kapara. So too, says Nisa Tzadikim, you have to have the proper reaction. Now, if the tzaddik dies and we learn the proper lessons and we appreciate certain things, then the mitzvah tzaddik is mechaber.
What does that mean for a rasha or a regular person to get?
Right, so that would not be a rasha if he's getting yisurim. It's not yisurim shalava. He's not going to be somebody who's pishpesh below matzah. I checked, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I mean, all I did was I murdered some people, I robbed a bank, I stole, whatever. Sometimes in Olam Haza, sometimes in Olam Haba. You don't get punished more than what you deserve, but you may deserve an awful lot. But those aren't Yisrim Shalava. Yisrim Shalava is when we can't find any level of misdeeds that would deserve such Yisrim. Yeah. Right, but when you are part of Am Yisrael, then you share in the rewards and you share in the suffering. Evidently, though, the tzaddik, it's not that each individual is exactly, one, let's say 600,000, In other words, the tzaddik was greater. You find many times that Moshe Rabbeinu was shuffle connected to Sanhedrin, was equal to this tzaddik. Yair ben Menashe was shuffle connected to this one, and this one was. In other words, there's somebody who's such a tzaddik that his worth, so to speak, he plays a greater role. L'tov and l'ra. So his share is greater. Because that's what I started off by saying. The Rebbe decided to run this world with Chayyavish. We would prefer not to have a world with others. We would like a world with Chayyavish and a little note in our box to do better next time. That's what we'd like to have. But that's not the way you decide to run the world. Yeah.
So, going off of what she said, this explains why Sadeh Rabbah, but it doesn't really explain why they don't even show Rabbah, right? So we want to say, okay, well then Benonim and Rishonim, when they get punished, it's because they did something wrong, so they're getting punished. So what can we say then about the disproportionate force, so-called? Which meaning if I look at my life and I see something that's not right, I'm by no means decided, so I would, but I'm by no means decided.
You're just
so,
another.
Right. So meaning, it seems disproportionate and seems like I'm being punished for something that, might not be there, but at the same time, I'm obeying on me, so I must be getting punished for something that I did do. So how can we sort of grapple with that?
So there's another explanation of the Pnei Yeshua, and which deals not necessarily with the tzaddik, a little bit. But I think that will answer, and I don't think that the explanations are mutually exclusive. And if you come up with 10 other explanations, they could all be true, in the sense that there could be many different explanations for a person suffering. So, if we're ready, we can go on to explanation number 2. Okay. Pnei Yeshua, before we get to that, the Gemara in Shabbos in Source 9 actually quotes a machloket, because in Source 6, he said, Yesh Misa Belo Chet, Yesh Yisurim Belo Avav. Very cold, huh? In Source 9, they call it an opposing opinion. Amar Rabbi Yami, ain't nisa below chayv, ain't nisa below avah. No. No such thing as getting punished without another. Tzadachim. So Pnei Yeshua offers a second explanation, Source 10. Dinila da hatam nevuah. Mishum dezulat ha-yisurim bilti yecholet la-hanishama says, "Af la'achar hafrada min aguf, la'sigu l'kabel kol ha'oroto l'mot al-yonim, ha'tzvunot v'adne l'mot asher aleim nemer ayin l'oras alukim zulasecha." But the Bnei Yeshua says, and I don't know if we'll read the whole piece inside, but he says, Olam Haba is a spiritual reward. And it's a reward given to the neshama, which is a spiritual entity. But every neshama that enters into a human body gets tainted somewhat by the gashmius of that human body. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. And therefore, for the neshama to get the right level of spiritual reward that it deserves, it needs to become more 100% pure spiritual. I don't know what I'm talking about, so it's okay, let me just go on. Let me just go on a little bit, okay? When it's in the human body, it's sort of its spirituality is diluted, it's tainted. And it can't get the appropriate reward that it really deserves. It just doesn't connect. And therefore the neshama has to undergo a purification process. And the purification process is very often done by the afflictions which are given to the guf. I remember reading this so many years ago. Yes, the Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal, Soloveitchik Zatzal's brother, younger brother, underwent a stroke many, many years ago. He wrote some sort of article about, you know, when the body doesn't move anymore or doesn't respond, you get much more attuned to your neshama. And I think that that's part of what's going on here. When the body suffers so much and a person rises to the occasion, he becomes much more of a spiritual person. You've probably heard stories and read stories about people who never suffered terribly with different kinds of afflictions, but they just become more ruchani. And therefore, said the Pnei Yeshua, in trying to explain the Gemara and Brachot, one of the things that's necessary for a person to just get the reward that they deserve is for that neshama to undergo some sort of purification process, which is often done by Yisur and brought upon to the guf. Take a look at source number 11 on the next page. Shechala Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnasu Talmid of Levakra. Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, as he was known, became sick. His students came to visit him. Amar lahem, Chama Azi Yesh Ba'olam. He said to them, "There's a tremendous, strong sun in the world, meaning the heat is unbearable." I guess his suffering was almost unbearable. Hekido Hein Bochim. So every all the Sadidim started to cry. Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer was suffering. Rabbi Akiva is happy, and Rabbi Akiva with so many stories, Rabbi Akiva is smiling. Amalo Lamatam is happy. He said, "Rabbi Akiva, why are you smiling?" Amalo Han, the Bechim is May Matan Balkan, he said to him, "Why are you guys crying?" Amalo Esher Sefer Torah, show you the Tzar, but Lo Nivke says, Rabbi Lezer is a walking Sefer Torah, a living Sefer Torah, he's in pain, he shouldn't cry. Amalo Han, the Kachani is happy. That's why I'm smiling. Kol man shani roa Rebbe shein yeno machmis vein pishtano loke vein shmano mavish vein zubshano mavish. When I saw a Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Eliezer, that all of his wealth was fine, his wine never turned into vinegar, his flax never got eaten up by the locusts, his oil never turned bad, his honey never became spoiled, everything was all fine. A mighty shema chas v'shalom kibo Rebbe alago. I thought maybe he got his whole reward in olam hazeh. V'ashav shaniro a Rebbe b'tzar, ani sameach. Now that if the Rebbe's in pain, I'm smiling. I know he's not getting his own reward in this world. His reward is set for Alamata. On the low. So Rabbi Yehuda turned to him and he said, Akiva, klum chisartin in atara kula. Only the blessed says it. Have I left anything out? Torah? On the low, limadutanu rabbeinu, kiyaza mein tzadik ba'oreth ha-shayat ha-tov lo yachta. Rabbi Yehuda just said, when you saw this deposit in Koheles, no one is there. That's one story. There's another story. Kishachal Rabbi Elazar nitnasu abar zekeinu levak Rabbi Tachin Rabbi Shiv Rabbi Elazar ben Azai Rabbi Akiva, and then skipping what the other three said, just Nana Rabbi Akiva v'amar chaviv nisur. Sometimes nisurin are chaviv. What's chaviv? They're dear to a person. Not just dear to a person. So the Mishnah Meliyahu explains it a little bit based on what Yosef on the Pnei Yoshua. But it's according to the Maran. Yesh bo tzad ma she'ino roi alosa ha'malo. Mitzad achisoim shudamek b'chomer. In other words, he really deserves a reward, but part of him is caught up in the world of dashness because that's human being. Vayisor min markin ha'nefesh u'misalkin min p'chisos ha'chomri ha'chuhu tahar. The Yisurim remove this pain that apply to his neshama. The sikach nikru yisurim shalahava, shashem yizbarach oev oso v'chopez bo, lekarev oso eila. Ulekach mimarek hashem yizbarach v'chisus hachome shalo atshu roya latveikus. So to be dovek in olam hava, mamish attached, he can't have that tainted neshama. So the Mizrach Lord of Love wants to give us the entire reward that we deserve, so he has to purify the neshama. And there's a tonight, there's a condition. And that is that you have to accept the Bi'ahava. Because it's meant to bring about the Vekas. Meaning, a person deserves a certain reward. We're not getting any greater. We deserve what we want to get, but we can't. The Neshama, which his spiritual needs to be purified. And one way that purification takes place is through the Yisur Mevukos. So before I take questions, why don't we look at the last piece, the Mikhtam Eliyahu. This is all fine and dandy, but the Mikhtam Eliyahu asks a question that he answers without answers. It says, V'yesh asher shalom, in source 13, in kein lama yesh yisurim shein amonash klal. They assume that there can't be any kind of punishment, and you can't really atone for anything. Lama yesh nishem nolad chole v'chadoma. The babies who are born sick and suffering. V'chadom chatam the babies. V'yesh gam shemachlatam yushana ne'avotein. Sometimes there's things that are genetic. Lama sulam kacham nashamayim. So if I inherit from genetic illness, I didn't inherit genetic aveiros. That was up to me. So how can I automatically inherit from genetic illness? I mean, it's from birth. You can do a test. Lama chazal shekadosh baruch hu gozer al ha'adam kodem shenotzar im chacham yeh or shote im gibor im chadosh bar yechol la'asher ani. All this HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides before he's born, including whether he's going to be healthy or sick. V'rakim tzadik yeh rasha lo nigzah meirosh. But if he's going to be a tzadik or rasha, that's not nigzah. V'roi lavan, lo nigzah yisur meirosh. So how can he be going there from the very beginning that he's going to be sick before we know whether he's a tzadik or rasha? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what that's up to him. But you already going to be sick. The lama nigzal mitzvah b'nei odom nachas v'onod v'amitzotim t'yagzera mirosh l'os chayei seva. And some people from birth, it's going to be a chayei seva. That's the way they were born. It doesn't fit. It doesn't match. So he answers as follows. And I say the answer is not an answer, but it's an answer. Because everybody in this world, if you read it inside, everybody in this world has a certain tafkid. Part of the tafkid of every person in this world is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. With his life. In his life, it should be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. But not everybody is meant to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim exactly in the same way. No two of us are alike. So the tafkid of no two of us is identical. And the way in which each of us could be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim is not identical. And therefore the challenges that we face, that we are faced with in life, are not identical. Everybody's faced certain challenges. And how we react, we have the ability to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim or not Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. But if there's something that we want, everybody should be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim exactly in the same way. So we're all going to have different challenges. And therefore, some people are going to be challenged to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim with the challenge of poverty. And some people are going to be challenged with the challenge of wealth. Because wealth is also a challenge. And if you take a look at the next to the last paragraph, he writes, "Mishnul zegam tzivivat kol adam yikaroi lefi enyano. Kvi oto kidosh Hashem asher olav lekadesh. Yesh asher olav lamo b'nisayon ha'osher v'anot olam hazeh." Some people will be granted tremendous wealth, and that's a challenge. "Shelo yidgashen ba'at sheyishkach adyotso legami." Whoever wins or won that $400 million lottery in New York is going to have challenges in life. That's the challenge of wealth. "Kamo shekosef pen hesba v'kichashti v'amati miyashem. V'yesh eshel nizbo l'nisayin ha'oni v'tzores rabos. V'abo b'kein lo yahara ha'chamidot ha'm nizbarach." The challenge of wealth is to use the wealth properly. The challenge of poverty is to not, you know, get angry at the rishbo and, you know, just walk away. There are all sorts of challenges. And he ends off with the answer, which is, "Anu b'yotenu ba'olam hazeh lo neida. Aval yitachein ki elu, ki ilu sha'alu l'neshama terem sheyorda lekan be'eze chelek tibchar im la'avor et ha'pros b'derech ha'osher v'hanachat o b'derech ha'oni v'atzar mistaber ma'od she'ita bocheret b'derech ha'seda. Ki mi sh'alibo shavur korov hu yoter lachshel v'nashel al dvar tachnito." We don't know, because we live in an olam hazeh world. We are gashmi beings. But it's entirely possible that had the neshama been offered a choice before it came into this world, what kind of challenges would you want in life? You want the yisurim of osher, the yisurim of oni. The neshama, which is more spiritual, which is totally spiritual, may have said, "I would prefer the yisurim of oni." Because there's a famous saying, there is nothing as whole as a broken heart. Because when a person is suffering and gets close to talk of his bohu, that's the kind of challenges that I want in life. I don't think the neshama gets there. But had the neshama gotten there, that may have been its response. We, who live as gashmi beings, we would not have chosen probably that response. But who knows? And that's the answer that doesn't answer an answer. Everybody is different. Everybody has different challenges in life. We don't know why some people are given these kinds of challenges and other people are given other kinds of challenges. The only thing that's left for us to do, we don't get to choose our challenges, is to rise to the challenge. And that is whatever goes on in life, through the good things and the bad things, to not lose sight of what our task is. So somehow or another, be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in everything that we do, no matter what happens. And if we do that, and we do that with Ahava, then Ma'acha Me'evas Mishana will look back and will say, "I didn't understand this. But now that I've returned to being a spiritual being, now I have more than I can."
Yes, so
from the neshama's perspective, from the neshama's, he said, by the way, he said, maybe it would choose. Right? He said, he talk it. But from the neshama's perspective, it wants to live spiritual existence.
It's not about the neshama.
The point of spirituality is not the neshama,
like, getting good.
Right, the neshama comes into the group. That's the way, listen, we don't know whether the neshama would, if it was asked whether it wants to come into the goof or not, whether it would answer. I don't know. I mean, the Shema say, I don't want to leave wherever it is to come into this world. And they're trying to say, Yolam on the Shema. I don't know. Get the Kabbalah doesn't ask them whether they want to come in or not. And we don't know whether Kabbalah asks them. I assume not necessarily asks them what kind of life they want to lead. But the Neshama would probably say that I would want to lead a life that would give me the most spiritual kind of existence possible for me. And therefore, if you're going to tell me that I'm going to, you know, get the challenges of tremendous wealth, maybe that's not what I want to. Now, some people who have tremendous wealth handle the challenge very well. Correct. And yet, there are people who rise to the challenge beyond belief. The famous story of Nachum Ish Gamzo, who suffered greatly because he didn't seriously give some food to the traveler, and you know, he had no legs, no one, a tremendous thing. And he said that for him that was a spiritual existence. I don't think he would have wanted that in a bubble, right, just by itself. But if it was a choice between people, maybe not some more
expensive. And how do you
That's part of the challenge.
That's the whole point of the experience that you're saying is, like, it's based upon the fact that the goat is being punished for everything. The goat.
Right. Well, it's sort of a pure process. Certainly, a spiritual challenge, even more so, can help purify the neshama. A person struggling with issues. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants different challenges for different people in life. Everybody has to, there's different ways. Doesn't want everybody challenged exactly the same way. Yeah. Correct. Well, you know, if let's say a baby born with say so. It's very hard to say that's a punishment for the baby. Like, what's going on? Or baby born with deformity. It's a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's a challenge. So you'll say, but why this baby? We don't know. But who's to say that, you know, certain challenges. For us, it's very hard. We want a smooth ride in Olam Hazeh. I think we all do. We just want to coast easy. Okay, I don't have to win the $1 million, the $400 million lottery. I just want to be able, you know, to live nicely. And not have to worry, and not have to worry about losing a job or about not being able to pay basic bills. And I want everybody to be healthy. Okay, a sniffle here, a cough there, but you know, nothing too serious. That's why we want this world. That's because Bible doesn't run the world that way. Yeah.
Should a person be doing the test on that is that they're not suffering? Meaning to say, like, I'm not suffering, it must be I'm not excited, it must be I should, you know. Or is it possible for a topic to lead a life without suffering?
Maybe the challenge to such a person is nothing's going wrong, and nothing's going, and to not forget about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, right now, there's a lack of rain, so hopefully when you say the same Talmud Matar,
you have a little more kapara. But even if there was rain, even if it's the beginning of the rainy season, we should be saying this kapara. We shouldn't wait for the disaster to all of a sudden remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world. So maybe that's our challenge. You know, when everything's going well, the challenge is, can I remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu without the reminder? Okay, let's stop this.